we start this service, we want to invite you, Lord. God, we want you in our worship. You're the reason that we've come to worship. God, we invite you just now. Lord, may we enter into the spirit of worship, just as we would enter into the spirit of anything, of natural things. We would enter into the spirit of work or into the spirit of our home life. But Lord, we want to put those things aside. Lord, we want to enter into your heavenly places, that you could come down and minister and talk to your people this evening. Lord, we're just here to create an atmosphere that you can deal with lives, hearts, and conditions and situations. We want to make ourselves available, Lord. You could step upon the scene for somebody tonight. You love him tonight? Amen. God bless you. We love you in the Lord this evening. We're just going to sing a couple songs. Amen. Ask Brother John. Brother Johnny's over here, but I'm not going to ask him to pray tonight. Brother Timothy's going to come and minister this evening, and want the Lord to have his way. Amen. How many would like to see the Lord? Oh, just come upon the scene tonight. Oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face. Amen. As I
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Just blend our voices together now.
Well,
remember Brother Tim Winters in need of prayer this evening, and Brother Tom Herring as well as requested prayer. We also want to remember Sister Linda Butts in the hospital, certainly needs a touch from the Lord this evening. How many would say, Lord, remember me. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear our humble cry. Amen. Brother Aaron, thank you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so grateful for another opportunity, Lord, to enter into your presence. Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus, the name that is higher than all names. Lord, I just pray tonight that we'll just take full advantage of this opportunity that's been given us, Lord. And Lord, we won't let it pass us by. And we won't just look at it as another Wednesday, Lord. But Lord, we'll put our everything into it tonight, Lord. And Lord, I believe tonight, Lord, as the praises go up, Lord, that the blessings can begin to flow in this place, Lord, that the word can flow freely. And Lord, deal with our hearts tonight. Lord, deal with every situation, Lord. You know every heart that's gathered here. You know every burden. You know every hurt, every hardship, Lord, every test, every trial. Lord, and I know that you have the answer. So we're looking to you tonight, Lord, as the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we're just asking you to come and Lord, anoint the word as it would go forth, and anoint the listener tonight, Father, that we'd be able to receive from you, Lord, all that you have for us. And Lord, the needs right across this desk tonight. Brother Tom with the sinus infection, Father. And Sister Linda, Lord, there in the hospital. Lord, I just pray that you'll just move, Lord, on their behalf, Lord. And the other needs, Lord, that, Lord, you'll just have your way tonight, Lord. And we just commit it all into your hands, Father. We look to you knowing that you have all answers, Lord. Lord, knowing that you knew my need before I came in here, Lord. And Lord, your grace is sufficient tonight. And I'm just looking unto you to speak now, Father. Lord, every part of this service from here to the end, may you take complete control, Lord, and that your name will be lifted up, Satan's kingdom will be torn down, Lord, and things of eternal value can take place here in this place tonight, Father. So we commit this time into your hands now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brothers wouldn't mind receiving the offering tonight. Certainly appreciate that. Let's sing together, My Hope is in the Lord, in the key of F. Amen. Do you stand in awe in the presence of the Lord? Amen.
I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord.
Is in no greater place for your hope to be than in the Lord. Amen. Let's just go to Him in prayer today. Father, we come to you one more time, Lord, just asking that you would come and you would minister, you'd speak to hearts and lives, Father. You'd touch us by your word, Lord, as only you can do. And ask, Father, that you would come and minister to every need according to your will and your way. We ask these things for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, if you would. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8. Just want to say that if you have not seen the announcement, we're going to do some things a little different for our Wednesday nights before the Christmas and New Year's. So we'll try to start at 6 o'clock on both services and have a little refreshment, time of fellowship afterward, the Lord will permit. But amen, just kind of have some special services there. So just want to announce that we'll be starting those services at 6 p.m. so we can get out a little early and have some time together, or if you need to get back for whatever, for your activities, you're more than welcome to do so as well. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we have in the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed, and therefore I've spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. We let you be seated. Kind of war within yourself, especially when you've been speaking on the subject for some time on faith, you know, if it's time to go somewhere else or do something different or what to do. And so I got to looking at it, actually started speaking on faith, different titles of faith about 2 years ago, or it was almost 2 years ago, December the 13th of 23. And so when you've been that long, you kind of get, you don't want to get redundant and you don't want to feel like you're preaching the same thing over and over. And so I just been looking for something else, and you know, asking the Lord, you know, why can't I go somewhere else? Why can't I do something else? And he just brought this scripture back to me when Jesus asked the question, when I return, will I find faith? You know, Jesus never questioned when he came back, would he find respect or would he find saints, or never questioned would he find righteousness. But what Jesus questioned was whether he would find, or what he would find or not, is will I find faith when I come? Brother Brown, I want to speak about this a couple of times because I was just looking at this because it's just answered the question in my own heart. And says, now living upon the reputation of our forefathers when pride and things is eat like termites to the foundation of our great civilization, seeing men modernize things, leaving off the Holy Spirit, adopting reading or writing or arithmetic for the power of God. He said, oh, Father, then to see those who still have that living faith. We think of our master when he said, when I return, will I find the faith? He did not question sincerity or Christianity. He said, will I find faith when I come? He said, then you ask this question, will I find faith when I come up on the earth? You never ask, will I find church members? Will I find creeds? Will I find sincerity? You said, will I find faith when I come to the earth? And he says, Lord, may these sick people let their faith loose. He said, come, may people come away from their frustrations and their doubts and their fears. And may their faith be turned loose just now. And if they turn their faith loose, then all sickness will turn loose. The devil will lose his hold, and they'll be set free by the power of Almighty God. And it will let the Holy Ghost surge in every heart and baptize every soul and heal every body in that divine presence. Grant it, Lord, for this I ask, that the devil leave every person that they're tormenting in here tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, turn yourself loose from these people. Amen. So just looking at that and thinking of this, you know, I believe that's why it's been pressed on my heart so hard to preach on faith. Because, you know, we live in a very faithless generation. And it's very easy sometimes to lose faith. And you lose faith in governments. You lose faith in people. You lose faith in a lot of things. But there's one thing that we should never lose faith in is in the Word of God. Because that Word of God will stand true no matter what else turns away. And whatever, whether the stock market's up or down or the governments are doing whatever, that Word remains the same. And so it's something that we can put our faith and we can have a foundation to lean upon. And so tonight I want to again speak on the language of faith, because I believe that faith has a voice. It has a language. It does not whisper defeat. It declares victory. Amen. It does not tremble when giants step out and begin to make challenges, but it'll stand and proclaim the battle is the Lord's. Amen. When faith will speak when storms are still raging, it'll speak. It'll speak before seas will part, before walls fall, before the answer arrive. Faith does not wait for proof. Faith is the proof. Amen. Faith does not wait for proof. It is the proof, because we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance or the proof of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Amen. Anybody or anyone can celebrate after a miracle. Anyone can speak after a miracle. Anyone can speak all kinds of things after a miracle takes place. But faith speaks before the miracle happens. Faith begins to celebrate before the miracle comes. You know, because faith is not a myth. It's something that you actually possess. It's something, amen. Brother Branham would put it like this in these terms. He said, if I was starving, you would come and you'd say, I would say, I'm starving. You'd say, well, what would save your life? He said, well, a loaf of bread would save my life. He said, you'd get in your pocket and bring out 25 cents and hand it to me and say, here you are. You better grab more than 25 cents today. But, it, you know, it's what it was back in his day. He said, here you are, Mr. Branham, you don't have to starve. He says, I wouldn't have the bread yet, but I got the purchase power of that bread. He said, I may be a mile from that bread, but I can be as happy with that quarter in my hand, because I know once I put it there, I can get the bread that I need, and that bread will fulfill the desire that I have. I've got the purchase power of the bread. And he said, when the same thing is when faith is anchored, it's finished, you can be just as happy and already jumping and shouting because it's already over. You can have it as something you know you got, nothing to move you. You'll never watch for any more evidence or anything else, because you know you already have it. Amen. Said, now, when I get this bread, this 25 cents, rather, I may have to go over some hills. I may have to go through some briar patches. I may have to cross some waters. I may have to go across bridges. I may go through some rough times. I may be able to go through over a mountain or down some valleys. But all the time, I can be rejoicing because I got the 25 cents. Knowing that I'm going to get the bread just as soon as I get there, I have the purchasing power. Well, faith is the purchasing power of everything you ever hope for. Hallelujah. So when we have the faith, then we can already begin to praise God. We can already begin to rejoice. We can already begin to throw up our hands, because nothing can move you. You know, now I love this quote. Somebody just sent this to me. Said Brother Jason Jackson sent this. He says, we can preach the word, we can explain the word, but you have to receive the word with faith. You have to receive it. Amen. We can explain it. We can preach it till we're blue in the faith. But if you don't receive it, it won't do you a bit of good. Amen. But that's what sets it afire, is when you receive it. Come on now. That's what makes it come alive, is when you receive it. Now, I can say I have 25 cents, but if you never take it out of my hand, that 25 cents or that $3.20 or $5, whatever it costs for a loaf of bread nowadays, it'll never do you any good unless you receive it. Amen. You can't rejoice until you receive it. You can't shout until you receive it. But once you receive it into your hands, then you can rejoice. Then you can shout. That's why when the word comes forth and we receive it, we begin to amen, we begin to praise God, we begin to thank God as if it's already done. Even though we're still sitting in our seat and nothing has changed, nothing has moved, nothing has went before our eyes that we can see clearly with our own eyes, but through the eyes of faith, we begin to say it's already done. And so this is where it is that when you receive it, the word, something slips out into the unseen world yonder, and it comes rolling down through a mystical channel somewhere, and it falls into your soul, and your soul says, now I see it. He said, then your eyes brighten. Then your lips that hung down or frowned, they straighten up and smile, and every muscle in your body seems to rejoice. Something's going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what happens when faith speaks. With faith, because faith has a voice. Faith has a language. It has a victory speech. Amen. The speech of faith is not downtrodden. It's not down in the dumps. It's not unbelief. That's not the victory speech of faith. Victory speech of faith is it speaks and walls fall down. Amen. That's what it did with the walls of Jericho. Amen. For 6 days, they walked around the walls. Nothing seems to change. Nothing seems to happen. But on the seventh day, a shout went forth. And after that shout, the walls fell down. Amen. It was a faith that spoke in a battle in Jehoshaphat. When, you know, God didn't give them swords. God didn't give them shields. You know what God gave them? God gave them a choir to go out to battle with. Ain't that amazing? Amen. God said, this is all you're going to need to do. I'm going to put the words on your mouth, and I want you to start singing. And while you're singing, I'll go to fighting for you. While you're praising me, I'll go to killing your enemies. This is what he said. And he faced a huge army, and God told them they wouldn't need to fight. And Joshua, he told Jehoshaphat to set singers in front of the soldiers, singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And as they begin to sing, the Lord confused the enemy and they destroyed each other. That's why it's important when we come to the house of God that we begin to get in an atmosphere of rejoicing and an atmosphere of receiving. And how do you do it? By singing the songs of Zion. By singing and worshiping unto God, it's creating an atmosphere that you can actually receive something, that is something to go down through those channels somewhere and fall down to your soul to where you can say, it's already done. The battle is over. But faith says God is good even in the valleys. Because he's the God of the valley just as much as he's the God of the mountain. Oh, I know we can speak all kind of faith on top of a mountain and scream it out and hear echoes come back. Faith, 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 faith. But down in the valley, he's still God. Hey, we can read this in 1 Kings 20 and verse 26. It came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. Can you get the picture here? Do you know what a flock of kids is? How many knows what a flock of kids is? Little goats or little sheep. Little nothings. They're a big old army, and over here's a couple flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country, and it looked impossible, and it looked like there's nothing. Nothing could take, but you know what had happened? David made a challenge. They said, we're going to fight him and them in the valley, because their God, he's the God of the mountain. He's not the God of the valley. And so they made this challenge, and there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said the Lord is the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. Therefore I will deliver all this great multitude in thy hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched over against the other 7 days. And so it was in that seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. See, ancient cultures often believed each god ruled a specific place or a specific thing. There was a mountain god, or they had a valley god, or they had a Nile god, or they had a river god, or they had a city god. They didn't know that this God had authority no matter where you was at. Amen. He had authority over the land. He had authority over the sea. He had authority over the skies, over the nations, over everything and anything. See, this God that you serve is not limited to your location. Hallelujah. It does not. He is not limited whether you're on a mountain or you're in a valley. He's the same God today. He's not limited to your location. He's the God of the mountain, which represent victories or high places in your life or spiritual strength. But he's also the God of the valleys. That's the trials and the sufferings and the weaknesses. And he heard what your enemy has said about you. That's why he would tell that. That's why David would say it like this in Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's faith speaking. Amen. Amen. That's what Paul, I want to go back to our opening scripture. That's what Paul was even speaking there. He says, troubled on every side, yet not distressed. What was it? Faith spoke out. Yeah, the faith does not deny reality. It does not deny what you're going through. That's not what faith is. Faith does not say, well, I don't have no trials. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't have no sickness. Hallelujah. No, there's real sicknesses. There's real trials. There's real devils. But you may be troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why? Because the God that's with you is greater than the thing that opposes you. Amen. You might be perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. You might be persecuted, but you're not forsaken. Hallelujah. Somebody just needs to hear that tonight, maybe. You're not forsaken. You're not alone. You're not fighting this battle alone. This is the Lord's battle. And he is fighting when you're sleeping. He is fighting when you're singing. He is fighting when you're resting. He's working even when you don't see him working. He's a God of miracles, and he's working a miracle on your behalf. You are not alone. Cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Hallelujah. Faith speak. That's a faith language. This is what it is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear. I don't have to fear. Why? Because there's somebody walking with me that's greater than anything that's in this valley. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What? You can sit down and eat and feast right in the presence of your enemies. That's a piece right there. Yes, sir. I can walk right into church, and I can walk through all kind of trials and tribulations, and demons of every kind is running after me and hounding me, and I can sit down and he's prepared me a table. And I can enjoy, and I can eat, and I can mince, and I can eat. I can feast on the things of God right around me. Enemies are hovering around and saying, you ain't going to do it. You can't make it. They're saying all kinds of things in your mind, speaking all kinds of things. But right in the middle of it, I can have a feast. Amen. And in me, in the presence of my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, faith says I'm healed even when the body's weak. Faith says all things are possible when nothing looks possible at all. Faith, you know, but faith does not deny reality as far as what we go through and what we live in and the world that we're in, but it declares a greater reality.
That's right.
I'm not looking at the seen, I'm looking to the unseen. That's what faith is looking to. The reality of God's promise. See, faith claims it right now. Faith says God said so and it's mine. Doesn't matter. It's settled. I don't care if I'm still crippled, if I'm still blind, if I'm still sick. It has nothing to do with it at all. Hello. Has nothing to do with it all. Can you imagine an enemy that gets so upset that he really has nothing to do with it at all? He tries all he can to try to come and discourage you, to make you quit, and he really has nothing to do. He don't matter.
That's right.
Let's put it on really who it really belongs on. It ain't you that don't matter. It's the enemy that don't matter.
Amen.
Amen. Because his word is what matters. If I'm still blind, if I'm still sick, doesn't have nothing to do with it all. I believe God's word anyhow. It's mine right now. I have the 25 cents. It's mine right now. God said so, and that settles it. That's faith. Hope says, God said so, and I'm expecting to get it someday, maybe. Someday. As long as Satan can put you off to another day, that's as good as he wants. That's why I'm not interested in a gospel, amen, that puts God in another day or another time or another. I need him in my time slot. I don't need healing in another day. I need it in this day. I don't need deliverance in another day. I need it right now. But if Satan can put you off to another day, that's as good as he wants. You'll never get there. It's like the carrot in front of the horse, you know, going down. Just keeps following it, but never getting there. It's your personal property. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith acts now. It's positive.
That's right.
Sickness, listen, sickness and everything else, when faith steps in, it's like snowball on a hot stove. It just melts away. It don't matter. Everything goes away from faith because faith stands up and takes rule. When faith speaks, everything else keeps still. That's right. The little old sickness burning around and saying things like, well, days of miracles are past, this or that. But let faith step up one time and pull the muscles up and say, I'll take over. I'll tell you what, when faith does that, everything else moves away. Listen, when faith steps up, cancer melts away. When faith steps up, alopecia melts away. When faith steps up, brain bleeds to melt away. Faith. And it goes the same with salvation. Brother Branham teaches it this way. He says, every one of you, God saved the same way, by faith. You're saved by your faith. That's why I can't tell you that you're saved. You have to have your own revelation you're saved. You can come here and cry and pray and pray and cry week, next week, month, and you'll still be a sinner until you accept him by faith. Is that right? It's not your crying that saves you. It's your faith that saves you. That's when you accept it. You believe it. Somebody said, well, let's see if you look any different. Why? You still got brown eyes. You're still just the same as you was. You can't show nothing that you're saved, but you only testify of the unseen. Your faith says you're saved. You believe you're saved. Then you say you're saved. Then you act like you're saved. Then you associate with those that are saved. It works righteousness. Is that right? After a while, everybody will know that you are saved. But it ain't on how much you cry or how much you lay at an altar. No, it is. It is sure. You need to repent and to make things right. But once those things are done, you need to accept God's forgiveness for you. That's the problem with a lot of people. They can't accept God forgave them. And many times they really just can't forgive themselves. Come on. Amen. We gotta accept God's forgiven me. I am a forgiven son. I am a forgiven daughter. I've asked God to forgive me. We heard it Sunday, and he don't fish in that pond no more. Listen, it ain't God reaching in there and picking up that guilt from 10 years ago and bringing it, dangling over your face. He's not that kind of God. He don't even remember it no more. That's the devil that's doing you that way. But when you've asked God to forgive and you made a real repentance and you've laid it all out there to Him, listen, it ain't like we're not a bunch of Catholics where we got to crawl so far and we got to cry so much and we got to do some. No, we got to accept what God has already done for us. I always love the example Brother John Andy's used at camp. That was on tape there of a woman or a man, I can't remember, it was in a prayer line, or there was just a prayer line taking place, and Brother Branham says, now, if you have anything in your life, he said, step out of the line, make it right, and get back in the line.
That's it.
Right?
Yes.
It was like, what, 10 seconds at most, maybe five. So just what he said, get out of the line, make it right, get back in the line. He didn't say get out of the line, go back to your seat until you feel worthy enough, then come up here. He said, no, get out of the line, make it right, get back in line.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. It's accepting what God's done for you. Listen, He can forgive you so quickly. It doesn't take hours and months and weeks and years. It ain't about that. It's about asking God to forgive you and making it right. And then it's over with.
Amen.
Right, Sister Jeannie? She was there in the prayer line. She knows exactly what it's like. Listen, when she asked God to forgive her and to make it right, even the prophet of God could not bring it out from under that blood. Hallelujah. If a prophet can't bring it out, why are we fishing in it? Why are we looking around? Why are we still carrying on our own past and old mistakes and own failure? It's time to accept what God has done for me and begin to speak. I am saved. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I don't have to be bound anymore. I don't have to bow down to what Satan says. I don't have to bow down to his condemnation. When we confessed our sin and we met God's requirement that He requires, we believe on God, there's circumstances that have to be met. It's according to His will. We confessed our sins and we made all wrongs that we did have right, done everything we know to do. Every requirement that God has made or has, we met that requirement. And sometimes yet, He lays silent. Sometimes He just won't answer us. He said, I'm sure I'm speaking to people this morning who's come to that place. He said, I've been there many times myself. When I went back, and I went back and I traced my life. I turned over every stone. I find if I did something wrong, I'd go confess and say, Lord God, I'll make this right and go do so. And then come back again and say, Lord God, thou art God. You'll answer me. Surely I met the request, the requirement, every requirement I've met. And still, He doesn't move, seems to be silent. That's when you got to be sure He's God.
Amen.
Don't be discouraged. The only thing is, that in your heart to be certain of God. Be certain in your heart that He's God and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And when you've met everything He said, then you're sure that He's God, that when your faith, that's when faith goes to work right there. Faith stands steady for it knows that God is. No matter if I'm sick, God is. If I don't have a dime, God is. If I don't know the answers, God is. But I don't know where I'm going to turn my next turn. God is.
Amen.
When you met everything He said, then you're sure He's God. And faith goes to work. Faith stands steady for it knows that He is. You met a requirement. You believe that He is. Faith holds steady and bless His holy name. Faith won't move for it's sure that God is. And He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He said, may this go down deep and never move from you. If you've ever met God's requirement and in your heart you believe that He is, God's only testing your faith, for He loves to do that. You've confessed your sin. You've met a requirement that God requires. And still He lays silent. Remember, faith says that He is. Then faith holds on to it, not knowing what it's all about or how it's going to be. It just knows He is.
That's right.
And He's certain that He's God.
That's right.
And His words are true. And He required you to meet these circumstances, and you did. He's obligated to take care of His word. He said, if one man comes and meets the requirements and God heals him, then God's obligated to you if you meet the same requirements.
Amen.
Right? That's what faith says. His word is true. He's obligated. Don't back off and say, I never got healed. That's not faith speech. That's not the language of faith. Faith says, I already was healed. 2,000 years ago, the price was paid. It's already done. Brother Branham talked about it. He said some people thought that when I, you know, when he was having that sickness and that stomach problems, and he was going around, he ate that big mess of beans and onions, and the doctor said if he ate another mess, it was going to kill him. And he said, what? His mom asked him what he wanted for supper. He said, I want some beans and I want some onions. He said, well, Billy, you know the doctor said it's going to kill you. He said, well, I'm not living by what the doctor said. I'm living by what the Word of God says. And he took a bite of them things. He said it went down and began to burn in his stomach. And he took another bite and it began to burn and started belching up, started coming. He ran out, started holding it down. Thank God for healing me. And it's all trying to come up. Thank God for healing me. He said, Brother Branham, ain't you making a reproach on God and His Word? You're lying, saying you're healed, and you're just as sick as you ever were. He said, listen, I wasn't confessing my feelings. I wasn't confessing how I felt. That wasn't what I was confessing. I was confessing the Word of God. By His stripes, I'm healed. Amen. That is the language of faith. He says, don't never back up and say, I never got healed. Even if your symptoms get worse. Don't ever back up and say, God didn't deliver me, even if it gets worse. Don't ever back up and say, God didn't do anything, even if it gets worse. Amen. He said, oh, you do that, you poor, weak faith. Don't believe that. If everything's confessed, everything's out, you met God's requirement, faith will hold. There's nothing to move it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. If they walk, they shall not faint. Wait. When you met His requirements, wait. That's right. You might have to wait a month. You might have to wait a year. Wait. That's right. It'll be worth it. Wait. That brings your faith to a showdown. God's requirement has been met. You have fully considered it. You've done everything He's required. Then your faith rests on His Word. And His Word says He is. But you know, He loves to test us. He loves to see the reaction of your faith. Now, I'm going to be very open here. Most of you know it anyhow. I come from a long line of pickers, jokesters. Listen, well, you couldn't go over to my mama and papa's house without some joke breaking out. They would get something before you left. They'd throw at you. They'd do something. It was always wanting to see your reaction. Right. You know, I should say this. I always said if I don't pick on you, it means I don't like you. But maybe it just means I ain't got around to you yet. But what is it? What is it? It's because you want to see a reaction. Right. Now, I had some sisters, you know, and I was the only brother, so the Lord, praise God, made me the oldest. So anyway, Lydia and Bethany both were good reactors. They would. You wouldn't have to do much. Ah! Stop it! Got a lot of whoopings for that right there. Right? But Esther, you could do all kinds of stuff to her, and she'd just look at you. Well, you know, finally, I just quit picking on her. Wasn't it? I didn't like her. But she didn't react. And I thought about this because Brother Branham talks about that God likes to see how your faith is going to react. He wants to see, is it going to back up? And are you going to back up and say, well, no, I didn't get healed. No, God didn't do nothing. No, God didn't. He didn't really touch. Or is it going to move forward and say, God is? Is he going to move forward and say, my God answered my prayer. It's already done. It's already finished. God likes to see the reaction of your faith. Amen. Now, in all that, I'm not saying I'm God, all right? But we like to see the reactions. He loves to see a reaction. He loves to see a movement. He loves to see something happen. It's what he said. I don't have it all before me, but Brother Branham talks about it a lot of times. He said, God loves to test you. He loves to bring you to a place of testing. We don't like those places. We like the mountains. Right? We all get on the mountain, shout the victory, and hear it echo back. Victory, victory, victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But it's down in those valleys. We don't like it. It's some dark times and dark places sometimes. But it is the shadow of death. So it tells you, even in a valley, there's light present. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. You know what I mean? It's a shadow there. So it tells you that light is present. That there's something there, and it's testing you to see how you're going to react. I mean, there's some people. I didn't even really mean to go all these directions, but there's some people that you can just go, you can just look at them and go, boo. And you'll get the biggest reaction. Just flip their lids. And there's some people you can set up and you can just get all prepared and you can try to set the trap and you can jump out with a mask on and you can do everything. Wah! And they just look at you. Right? God is wanting to get us to a place that we're not when the devil goes boo, we go, ah! But he's wanting to get us to a place that when we're down in the valley and it's dark, a lot of scary places and dark places, right? It's dark. And the devil jumps out with cancer or he jumps out with whatever and he goes, ah! And you don't even react. You just look at him and say, you don't matter because my God says by his stripes I'm healed. He jumps out at you and he says, I'm going to take your child. No, you're not going to take my child because his word said they shall be there and their offspring with them. I'm not going to react to your chatter. I'm not going to react to your boos. Matter of fact, I'm going to grab the word of God and I'm going to boo back, devil.
Amen. Amen.
Said this before, but it's worth saying again. I've seen this cartoon or something somewhere. Of a little old dorky lamb walking on his hind feet. We know they don't do that, but it's a cartoon. And he's got his little hoofs, and he's holding the hands of Jesus, and he's walking down this road, and there's this lion over in a ditch. And he's just got his mouth wide open. There ain't no teeth, but he's got his mouth wide open. He's making this big roar. And that dorky-looking sheep, they're walking along with Jesus, looking at that lion, says, I'm with him. Time you remind your devil that's tormenting you who you're with, or maybe who's with you. You are not alone. You're not fighting this battle alone. Amen. You're with Jesus. It's not me trying to overcome cancer. It's Jesus in me overcoming it. It's not me trying to overcome that whatever sin. It's Jesus in me overcoming it. Trying to get us to where our reaction is not backing up. Our reaction is going forward. Our reaction is stepping out in faith. Our reaction is not pulling back and getting further in the boat. No, it's taking a step and getting out of the boat. Listen, Jesus wasn't interested in him being the only one walking on water. He's not interested in him being the only one that cast out devils. As far as a man 2,000 years ago. No, he wanted many. Many men, many women, amen, are charged with the Holy Ghost that'll walk through Satan's Eden and not back up when he boos, but move out in faith and say, this is the word of God, devil. Back off.
Amen.
Faith. So in our opening scripture, Paul's faith was speaking of his purpose, why he was here. Yes, he was facing trials. But it was for a purpose. The purpose of God would stand. And even when his purpose, when God's purpose takes us through trials, faith still speaks.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham said it like this. He said, each one of us born for something. We just wasn't put here for nothing. The mountain never happened out there just to be. The tree was put there for a purpose. Everything's for a purpose. I got to serve. We're here for a purpose. Maybe it's to testify just to one person and get them saved. Well, God would do that. He would have a man be born upon this earth and be filled with the Holy Ghost, and he could raise up and go through all kinds of things in his life just so he could testify to one person and be saved. Well, Jesus did. He went across the ocean, the Sea of Galilee, for one person. It wasn't for a big meeting. It was for one person. God, he got purposes and everything. He said, maybe it's to testify to one person. Maybe it's to come be a preacher who will send millions of souls to Christ. Look at Dwight Moody's conversion and many of those. Just a little woman, a little washwoman with a message on her heart to do something for God. And she rented an old livery stable and got a minister to come down and preach. Nobody but a little old boy with his hair hanging down his neck and his daddy's suspenders on went down there, but he knelt at the altar that night. Dwight Moody has sent 500,000 souls to Jesus Christ. That woman had something to do. It was for a purpose. She was made a washwoman for a purpose. Don't despise where God's got you. Because if you despise where God's got you, you cannot have faith in where you're at. Don't despise where God's got you, but serve your purpose. There's coming a great victory day one of these days when the battle is all over. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's for a purpose. It's not me working it on my own. It's not you trying to make it on your own. We can't make it on our own. It's Christ in us. It's working His will. It's speaking His word. It's greater is He that's in you than what's around you. Greater is He that's in you than what's before you. We're not going down in defeat. No, this bride was not made. This Laodicea bride, the overcomer of Laodicea, was not made to go back down into the earth. That was Ephesus. They played their part. This bride was not made to go back into the earth, to die out, to perpetuate another church age, another coming. No, this bride was made to go up in victory. So we're not going to go up by the skin of our teeth or just barely hanging on or just barely surviving or just barely, you know, just barely making it to church or just barely. No. That's not this bride. That's not overcoming. Hello, that's not overcoming. That's not, oh, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Did Jesus just barely overcome? Did he just barely survive? Did he just barely make it in his time? Did he just barely? No, he didn't just barely nothing. He died. Yes, he died, but he also rose again. Not only did he also rise again, but he also ascended. Amen. Not only did he also ascend, but he also came back. That we can have the same power. To not just barely make it, not just barely survive, not just barely make it on a Wednesday night, hanging by a thread. No, sir, this bride ain't just a barely bride. But she's an overcoming bride. She's a righteous bride. She's a bride of Jesus Christ with the same power, with the same authority, with the same vindication, with the same signs, with the same wonders. I'm telling you faith language. I'm not talking about my doubts and my fears. If I was going to get up and preach doubts and fears, I'd preach, well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't think we got the power anymore. I don't know. That is not who I am. No, if you wanted a preacher that would preach you in your doldrums and preach to you and just say, oh, you're going to be okay. No, I'm telling you, you got a right to step out of there. You got a right to lift up. You got a right to say, Toodah. And praise God anyhow, no matter what's going on around you. Because it ain't me, it's Him that's working in me. It says, He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Amen. Greater is not equal. Of course, it's not lesser. It's greater. It's not barely. It's God in you, like He was in Jesus Christ. Like He was in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, what did He do in Jesus Christ? He overcame.
Right.
He cast out devils.
Yes.
He healed the sick.
Amen.
He saved the lost.
That's right.
He died, but He rose again.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
It's God in you as He was in Jesus Christ. So don't come giving me some melted down ice cream cone of a message. It says He's not the same today, and He ain't got the same power of vindication, same signs and wonders. You lying hypocrite.
That's right.
You wolf in sheep's clothing is what you are. This word says He is as He was in Jesus Christ, so is He in the bride.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. So it ain't just barely overcoming. It isn't overcoming by our mind's ability or some intellectual ability. It's overcoming by the Spirit of God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. All He poured into Christ, and all Christ was, He poured into the church. And somehow we get that we're just going to barely make it. No, we ain't going to barely make nothing. We're going to knock the gates of hell down.
Right?
I wish I had some of those speeches Brother Aaron's so good at using, because I got to use that one over there at the Alamo. If I could, maybe I'll just get you up here and just tell it. I heard your voice. When all those Mexicans surrounded the Alamo, sent this unconditional surrender note. Is it Colonel Travis? I get that right? He said, I responded with a cannon shot. I love that. That sends vibes all the way down through this southern body. It's time some of us look at that devil and he wants to send some surrender note to you. Time you respond with a cannon shot. I'm responding with faith. How about that, boy? I'm responding with the Word of God. How about that, devil? I'm responding not with my feelings, not with what I think, not with what I'm looking at. Amen. Colonel Travis had a lot to look at. He had a lot of problems. They didn't look like much hope, but he wasn't looking at his hope. He was looking at what was behind him. Come on, somebody. It's time we quit looking at what we can see and we start looking to the unseen. You say, well, Brother Timothy, you said there was a lot of devils here. You said they was following. They said, yeah, but that ain't all the story. There's more of that that's for us than there is against us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The devil can have 1,000, but as long as God's got 1,001, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And no matter how many demons the devil has, God's got more angels. No matter how much power the devil has, God's got more power. No matter how much holding the devil can do, God's got more power to break the hold of Satan. No matter how much sickness that he can pour out in this generation, God's got enough healing. No matter how much depression he can pour on you, God's got enough joy that'll take that old frowny lip and turn it upside down, and you can start shouting the praises of Almighty God. Because greater is He that's in you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think it said in the preachers.
No.
Is that what it said in the preachers? No, it said greater is He that is in you.
Yeah.
How many yous we got?
Yeah.
I'm a you.
Because
all that God was, He poured into Christ.
Right.
And all that Christ was, He poured into the church.
That's
God in you.
Yes.
He that's in you.
That's right.
I don't think we grasp that enough. I just want to keep saying it until somebody just says, hey, man, that's me.
Amen.
Hallelujah, that's you.
Amen.
All that God was, He poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, He poured into the church. That's God in you. He that's in you. He said, no wonder winds and waves obeyed Him, obeyed His word, because that was God's word speaking through Him. He was a man, but He was the Word made flesh. And when He spoke, that was God speaking through human lips. No wonder the winds and waves cease. The very creator that created the winds and waves. Now think of that. No wonder demons were paralyzed at his words. Hello? Paralyzed. Do you understand that there's enough power in you to paralyze demons? Do you understand there's enough power in this church that will paralyze demons? We've seen it happen. We've seen it take place. They come out in manifestations. I'm going to strike you. I'm going to hit you and can't get to you. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in that devil. No wonder. Paralyzing faith. The one of the dead was turning back to dust, but couldn't lay there when his word spoke, for he was the word. He said to Lazarus, after being dead, stinking 4 days, his nose and face fell in much of the time. Lazarus, come forth. And a man dead raised up on his feet. Why? It was God. He that was in Christ was God. The dead could not stand in his presence. It was God in Christ. Amen. Remember, God created the winds, the air, the waves, the water. But when the devil gets into it, he got to tumble and bring destruction. God created man to be sons of God. And when the devil gets into them, it's trouble. He says, that's what the devil got in those winds and sent a storm. Couldn't the creator that created the wind say, go back, for I created you? Isn't that the same creator was standing on top of the hill the other day? Isn't that the same one that spoke to storms? Why? Isn't that the same one that would take a piece of fish and break it and piece grow on it, another piece grow on it? All that was in God, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ has poured in his bride. He didn't actually have to have that. He could have said, isn't it the same creator that created squirrels? He that was in Christ is in us. Amen. Do we understand what this faith can do? Amen. He that was in Christ is in us, for it does the same works he did. How does anybody get away from this and say that we don't need that anymore? If you don't need that no more, you don't need Christ no more. You went outside him. Went into some theology of your own making, your own dreams. You need him. Without him, we are lost. Without him, we have no power whatsoever. Without him, we have no authority whatsoever. But with him, all things are possible. Amen. The dead could not stand in his presence. He says, see? And Brother Brown brings it in our day. He's talking about dead people that have risen and visions and so forth. And here sits one right here, dead right here where he was sitting. He's alive now, fell on a heart attack. Where's his wife? A nurse went down. Brother Edmund Ways, who he's talking about. Everything was gone. His eyes set and gone. But now he's alive. Well, God still does that in this day.
Yes, he does.
And any devil that wants to say otherwise, I defy him. I don't care if he's speaking out of a man's lips. I defy him because God still does them things today. Greater is he. It's God the creator. The winds and the waves had to obey him. Demons become paralyzed. All nature obeys him because he's the creator of nature. When we think, it takes the bite out of it, don't it? When we think like that, it takes the bite out, don't it? When we think like that, it takes the bite out, don't it? When we begin then to think of how much power that is in Christ has been poured into the bride, it takes the bite out of Satan's bark. Why? Because faith begins to rise. Faith begins to speak. Faith begins to step forward. For he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. He that can cause a turmoil in your life. He that's in the world. He that's in you is greater because he can cause that turmoil to be at peace. I've seen it happen. A man so tormented by spirit, and another man by the unction of the Holy Ghost say, I speak peace. Yeah. In this day. Because
yes.
The greater is he that's in you.
That's
this is faith language. Amen. Well, I don't feel so great. It ain't about how you feel.
That's right.
I didn't feel like coming to preach tonight. I texted a couple friends. I said, you know, do y'all ever have this feeling? You don't feel, just don't want to. They said, all the time. I said, good, at least I ain't in the boat by myself. Sometimes you just don't want to. But faith begins to speak.
Yes.
Faith grabs a hold of your ties, puts it around your neck, say, come on, boy, we're going to church.
Yeah.
Faith gets you out of your bed. It'll get you out of your couch. It'll say, you know what, tonight's Wednesday night. I got something there at the house. I got a feast to go to. He's got me a table prepared in the presence of my enemies. I got enemies all around me, but I also got a table. That I can gain strength, that I can receive, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He that was in Christ is greater than he that's in the world. But let's don't leave it there. He that's in you. Faith. I don't have time to get to all this. That's a good one to go listen to. Greater is he. Or he that's in you. It's a great faith sermon. But I want to bring it down to this. We have the devil's answer.
Yes.
It's not me that liveth, but Christ the Word that's living on me, in me. It's not my idea, it's his power. It's not my idea, it's his word. He promised it, he is here. He said it would be here. Here it is. We've got the answer. Christ is risen. He has paid the price for my redemption. What God in Christ manifested, he gave that flesh and blood might become the life and the flesh be redeemed, that God in this redeemed flesh could manifest his word for the day he did in that, for the day that he did in that day. Woo, glory. You see it? Oh my. Where can I stop? Notice it. When we stand justified in the presence of God as a drop of ink dropping into the tub of bleach, you never find a stain of it nowhere. It went somewhere. But it's gone. And a man that's truly redeemed, his sins are demolished. It's gone. You're separated from it forevermore. It's dropped in the ink of the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's never to be remembered. God forgets it. He stands. We have Satan's answer. God has vindicated himself. God has proved that he has a promise in this day. His headship is here. Who? Christ, the risen word. But it's not just the head. There is also the body. Hallelujah. There is the devil's answer. Live voices. Live voices. A God manifested in his people. That's the reason. He says that a husband and wife is no longer twain. They're one. God and his church is now one. It's Christ in you. God's great revelation. Even buried his name. His name is Jesus the Anointed. The reason he's called Jesus, he is the Anointed. What does he call us? Miss Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Miss Anointed. So if you want to take the anointing, you're not taking the name. If you want to take it away, you're not taking the name. You're taking the name of some ideology that you have, or some thought that you have, or something, or some thinking, some whatever you got. Take the name. Miss Jesus Christ. Anointed. Anointed with signs and wonders and powers and glories and things of God that's manifest. Why? Because there's a people who faith is found in. And they're not in their doubts and their unbelief and shrinking back and saying, well, he used to do that then, but he don't do that now. No, we're stepping forward and saying he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think it's a shame that Brother Branham fought so hard against Goliath, that Goliath, and killed him and held his head up. And now men are now going right back to that same point and saying the same things that Brother Branham fought against. Where's the mighty men of David? So there's more giants, but that giant's got my name on it. And I have been chosen to fight him. And I'm not going to fight him by might or by my own strength, but by the power of Almighty God. The faith has been established in my heart by the Spirit of God that's come and been born on the inside of me, that it's not my strength or my abilities or what I've done or what I will do. It's what he's already done. Let's stand our feet. You are Satan's answer.
Amen.
Well, I got so many questions. I got answers. I'm Satan's answer. girls are Satan's answer for what God is in this generation. He wants to come with all kind of questions. You men are Satan's answer for what real men are in this generation. He comes with all kind of questions. Question masculinity. Question femininity. Question. We are Satan's answer.
That's right.
What God was, he poured into Christ. And what Christ was, he poured into his church. Miss Jesus Christ. Let's bow our hearts today. Now we stand justified in Christ, already judged because he passed the judgment hall. Justified in his sight, we are his victory. The church is his victory. Maybe you just need to say that. Let faith speak. I am his victory. I will not be a skin tacked on the wall of Satan in his hall of fame of how he overcame this one and he did that. No, that's not who I am. I am Christ's victory. The faith that overcomes the world. The body of Christ, living, standing, redeemed, justified in his sight. We are his victory. This church, the church is his victory. We come forth in the last days with his glorious gospel showing his victory, that he died for a purpose and I was that purpose. And we are proof of his victory. Proof of his victory. Not of his defeat. Of his victory. Hallelujah. Father, we love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Lord, let faith speak out of our lives. Satan wants to come with his doubts and his unbelief, fears and worries. We go through a lot of valleys and shadows and darkness. Lord, many times they just want to see our reaction, to see how we're going to move, how we're going to move in this situation, what we're going to do. We're going to pull back or we're going to push forward. May we push forward in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We love you, Father, with all of our heart. We praise you, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, if there be anybody here tonight, Lord, that just wants to say, Father, I want to just make everything right. Give it to you, Lord. I just want to stand justified and freely forgiven, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm tired of the doubts and the fears taking their place in my life. I want to start speaking faith and the language of faith. And when you return, I want you to find me faithful. Oh God, so many have walked away from the faith. So many have denied it. So many have said it ain't so. But Lord, when you return, I believe you're going to find a church, a bride. Because your word said, without spot, without wrinkle, you're going to find faith. A people believing in a body change. A people believing in a rapture. Doesn't matter how many people stand up and say it ain't so. Your word says it's so. Your prophet says it's so. So I believe it. We love you, Father, with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Let's sing that song in Jesus' name. I pray song. I don't know what key. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Press.